Hi everyone, thank you for being with us today. We appreciate you taking the time to join us, and we hope you've felt encouraged and blessed already by what you've heard and will continue to do so. If you'd like to keep up that conversation with us, then there's a number of ways that you can do that. I'm going to put them on screen for you now. It's through our social media channels. You may already be on YouTube. You can connect with us with the chat and in the comments, or on Facebook, on Twitter, or if you need some prayer requests or some things that you'd like us to know or some help with, then you can contact us, social@newlifechurch.crawley. So please take that opportunity to connect with us. We'd love to hear from you. We'd love to encourage you in your journey of faith. One of the things that I love to do is watch the medical dramas. I was watching one recently, and there was a patient who was coming in for what they thought was a fairly routine diagnosis, a routine treatment, and they uncovered something that was much more serious. In fact, they didn't believe the person would live. And so the doctor was encouraging them to make decisions that would help them in their final days. One of the comments that the patient in the drama made really struck home with me, because I think it connects with all of us, when he said, "I just want my life to mean something." And I think that's a sentiment that's true of all of us. I think deep down we want our lives to have that sense of meaning, to have that sense of significance, to have that sense of purpose that goes beyond the mundane, that goes beyond the everyday, that goes beyond this life. And I believe our passage today will help us do it and help us see how we can live for God in a meaningful way, which I'm sure you want to do. So let's read together as we continue our series in 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 9 to 11 will come on screen for you now. Offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. Each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. If anyone speaks, they should do so as one who speaks the very words of God. If anyone serves, they should do so with the strength God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To him be the glory and the power forever and ever. Amen. These words form part of a larger series that we've been looking at. And then 1 Peter chapter 4 in particular, we've looked at a couple of key ideas about what it means in order to live for God. And they're on the screen for you now. In order to live for God, we need to have the attitude of Christ towards suffering. And he embraced that, and he understood it was part of what it means to fulfill God's purpose, to bring salvation and forgiveness to all of us. We also need to have an attitude of Christ towards his return, which basically means that we need to be ready and understand that Christ could come, and we have to be in that right place. I encourage you to look at both of those messages, which are fuller explanations in previous weeks. And then finally, the attitude of Christ towards his gifts, which is what we're going to pick up today. I want to suggest to you three simple points from this passage about living for God. Living for God means that we should be using our gifts to serve others. Now, this may seem a very simple and strange thing to say, but the truth is that so often we think of gifts as badges of honor. We think of gifts as to meet our needs. But Peter comes and says, no, whatever gift God has given you, use it to serve others. And we live in an age where we can be very self-centered, very individualistic, very focused on the idea of what's in it for me, what do I get out of it? But living for God and living that meaningful life cuts right across this and challenges that individualism and challenges that selfishness that we sometimes face. And Peter comes in and says, live for God and do that in serving others. Whatever it is you do, make sure that your gift is being used to serve others. So often we know that people can use the gifts to build a platform for themselves. We know that people can promote themselves very easily. But actually, God says, don't do that. Allow me to raise you up. Allow me to lift you up at the appropriate time. But we live in a celebrity culture. The media is full of that. People who have hundreds of millions of followers. Not because they're doing great acts of mercy or justice in the world, simply because they're celebrity. And unfortunately, that can even creep into the Christian church, where pastors or worship leaders or other people become personalities and celebrities. Paul actually warns about some of the things that can go with it. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 5, he said that some have used godliness as a means for financial gain. And he warns against that and says, that's not what service is for. That's not the way God has designed us. In fact, in verse 11, he says the purpose and the meaning behind it all is that in everything you do, it will bring glory to God through Jesus Christ. So living that meaningful life is not about promoting ourselves, not about bringing glory to ourselves. It's not about exalting ourselves. It starts with the realization that we're using our gifts to serve others. Second thing that Peter says to us is that living for God means we should be using our gifts to serve faithfully. That's an important distinction, because sometimes people can serve with the wrong motives. People can serve with the wrong attitudes. Peter comes and says, I want you to serve, and I want you to serve faithfully. The key word that's used in this passage is that of being a steward. Someone in the early church, the language is used, the early church would have understood it. As someone who's a steward, someone who's a household manager. We might use the term an estate manager. If you think of some of the large estates, maybe in the UK or in other countries, they will often have a manager. He doesn't own the land. It's not his, but he's been given the responsibility to ensure it's run financially well, that it's viable, that it's fit for purpose, that it's serving others, that it's doing what it's supposed to do. And this is the kind of image, if you know your Bible at all, you may think of someone like Joseph in the Old Testament, who was a steward in Potiphar's house. He was given great responsibility to manage it and to oversee it. And this is the idea we're given, that one of stewardship, one of responsible management of another's resources. That's what it means to serve faithfully. Paul talks about that in 2 Corinthians 4 when he uses the language of servants and steward, and he says, you must prove faithful in that. Those of you who are entrusted with the responsibility must serve faithfully in this responsibility. So often, the challenge for that is when we're serving, is people don't always appreciate that. People don't always appreciate that we're serving them. And the challenge comes sometimes to our attitude when we're treated like servants. We think we're happy to serve until we're treated like a servant. And then sometimes things rise in us that are unpleasant, and we see that maybe our attitude's wrong in some area. So God calls us and he says, I want you to serve faithfully. That's your calling. That's what I've asked you to do. Even when people don't always appreciate it. And maybe you're in a position where you've been serving faithfully, maybe serving a boss who hasn't appreciated the pressure you've been under, even working from home and all the complications that's bring. Maybe you're with a partner who hasn't appreciated the extra responsibilities of childcare. Maybe you're in an environment where you don't feel appreciated by your own family for all the things that you've done. And they may not realize what you've done until you stop doing it. God has an answer for when we feel undervalued, for when we feel unappreciated. Isaiah 49, verse 4 is on your screen. But I have said, I have labored in vain. I have spent my strength for nothing at all. Yet what is due me is in the Lord's hand, and my reward is with my God. Do you know what, folks? It may be that people may not appreciate what we've done. It may be that you're feeling a little overwhelmed and underappreciated. But God wants you to know that He sees. God wants you to know that your strength hasn't been spent in vain. That there is a reward for those who serve faithfully. In fact, one of the things that Jesus says about those who have served faithfully, He says, "Come and enter into the joy of the Lord. Well done, good and faithful servant." Well, we all have different gifts. We all have different abilities. We all have different ways that God expects us to serve. Peter uses the words service in its various forms. The word that's actually used means many-colored. It's like a rainbow of gifts. We know that rainbow has been used a lot and used a lot recently to support those in the NHS. And we've seen those in people's windows or on cars. And rightly so for those who are serving. But God comes to us and says that there is a rainbow, a many-colored, a many-variety of gifts. And it's important that you serve others and that you do that faithfully, even when others don't recognize that. Two of the gifts that He talks about are those who speak. But there's a second one that we can all do, that we can all be involved in, and that's hospitality. Hospitality was a very important thing in the Middle East culture. It was expected. It was a place of you honouring others who come into your environment. And Paul comes and says, actually, hospitality is very important. Paul talks about it in what he received from others, but also Peter talks about it here. Hospitality, I think, is an important thing, particularly in this period of pandemic with COVID-19, where you can serve others, maybe by offering them a cup of tea or coffee, by inviting them round in a socially distanced way, of course, or going out to have coffee with them. Maybe it can't be in exactly the same way as it was previously. But what a tremendous gift of service it can be if you invite people into your world, into your network. There's a lot of lonely people. There's a lot of people who feel isolated. Maybe one of the ways that you can serve faithfully is to text someone, to WhatsApp, to ring them, and just invite them out. Serve others. Serve faithfully. The third thing that Peter says is that living for God means we should be using our gifts in God's strength. It's important that we understand that strength is a force to overcome immediate resistance. That's what it means in the original language. And truthfully, as you see on screen, then our natural inclination is not to serve others, but to be served. We like it when we're served. We like it when we're looked after. We like it when people take care of us. But watch your reactions when someone tells you what to do. That will often reveal that resistance or that reluctance in us. And we have to overcome, by God's strength, our basic selfishness at times, our basic bent to look after number one and simply protect ourselves. We have to overcome that resistance. There's a great story told of the Gurkha Regiment. The Gurkhas are an arm of the British services. And they're known for their bravery, they're known for their courage, they're known for their willingness to go in to difficult situations. And the story's told of one time they were asked to go on an operation, and the commanding officer was speaking to the leader of the Gurkhas, and he said, "What we need you to do is fly on this plane, and at 500 feet, we want you to jump out of the plane and land behind enemy lines and capture that so the rest of the force can then go in." And the leader of the Gurkhas paused and thought for a moment and said, "Let me go and speak to my men." And so he went and spoke to the rest of the regiment, gathered them together and told them what they were being asked to do. And eventually he went back to the commanding officer and said, My men have asked me, they're willing to do it, but can the plane fly a little bit lower and go at 300 feet? And the commanding officer looked really puzzled and said, "No, that's not possible. Your parachutes will never open if we fly as low as 300 feet." And the Gurkha leader looked back at him and said, "Parachutes? You never told me we'd have parachutes. We'll fly at any height if we have parachutes." That's an amusing story. People who are willing to have courage, people who are willing to sacrifice. And I'm not asking you to jump out of a plane. I'm not asking you to potentially pull that cord string and hope the parachute opens. But here's one thing I know about service and using your gifts to serve others and to serve faithfully, is that there will be a cost. Sacrifice will be involved. It will be inconvenient. It may appear at times unrewarding. But that's where we need to grasp hold of what Peter's saying. He says, use whatever gift you have. Use it according to God's strength. The word that's used there is the word grace. And on your screen you'll see a number of ways that grace is used in the Bible. It's used firstly to describe God's free gift of forgiveness that's available to all. So if you're not at the place where you know you've received God's forgiveness, then you can do that today with a simple prayer asking God to come into your life. Grace is used to describe the favor of God's presence with those who belong to him, with those who are on the faith community. But in the New Testament, grace is also used to describe a third thing, to describe the power that enables us to serve him. And he picks that up, Paul picks that up in Romans chapter 12. And I'm going to turn there and read that to you. Romans chapter 12. And this is what Paul says. In his grace, God has given us different gifts for doing certain things well. So if God has given you the ability to prophesy, speak out with as much faith as God has given you. If your gift is serving others, serve them well. If you're a teacher, teach well. If your gift is to encourage others, be encouraging. If it's giving, give generously. If God has given you leadership, then take responsibility seriously. And if you have a gift for showing kindness to others, do it gladly. Can you see it's that idea of in God's grace? It's in his strength. It's depending on him and going to him for the source of energy. Now that doesn't mean that we sit back and say, okay God, you can do all of this. This is on you. No, it's this partnership, it's combination, because we see in the Bible that Paul had a fierce work ethic. He had a very strong work ethic. It's on screen for you now. Paul talks about when people are criticizing, he said, listen, I had far greater labors and greater work than those who criticize. In fact, he said that he had far greater work than all of the apostles. How was he able to do this? Colossians 1 verse 29 says that with all his energy, he powerfully works in me. Just think about that for a moment. Think about that divine energy. Think about that divine strength working through us. That's one of the things that grace means. God isn't intending you to be so worn out that you can't serve him, that you can't live well. In fact, God says that we should take care of ourselves, that we should get adequate rest, that we should eat properly, that we should exercise. So this divine energy that he gives us isn't to circumvent or to bypass those natural gifts that God has given us, the gift of rest. The gift of Sabbath, where we take time apart and honor him. No, all those things are meant to give us that physical energy, but we also need God's supernatural strength, and that's where God's grace comes in. Go to him and ask him for his strength. Maybe not to jump out of a plane from 500 feet, but actually to serve others, to serve faithfully, to serve well with the strength that God gives. We're going to draw to a conclusion in a minute, and I'm going to give you an opportunity to think about how you can respond. But let's kind of review what we looked at in all of this passage about living for God. In order to live for God, we need to have the attitude of Christ towards suffering. We need to have the attitude of Christ towards his return, and both those messages are already on YouTube and our Facebook page. And today we've looked at having the attitude of Christ towards his gifts, that we serve faithfully, that we serve others, that we serve with God's strength and not our own. So here's a couple of questions as we close. What one thing will you do as a result of this teaching? Is there one thing that you need to do about your gifts? Is there an attitude you need to change? Is there an action you need to take this week? So what's your next step? What are you willing and able to do in order to serve others, to serve faithfully, and to serve in God's strength? Pray you have the courage of your convictions to do that this week. God bless you. And as we said earlier, please get in touch with us, have that conversation. And if you're around on the 6th of September, when this is being broadcast, then please join us on Zoom at 11:30. We'd love to talk with you, pray with you, and share a little bit together. God bless you, and see you soon.